Well, it is the 23rd day of January, a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us is Jackie Vakes. It's Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start out with just the markets because it was lower today. What turned futures down?
Well, I think there were a number of things that were going on. You know, we went up and got close to that 62% retracement again on the March corn. Only 7:30 today, but 7:34 is the area that we've been trading in. Saw a little bit of rain come in the forecast for Kansas in the wheat area, and when wheat began to sink, so did corn. And I think we just plain saw some profit-taking come in, to be expected. I think consolidation is the name of the game at the moment. When you look at beans, beans went up, of course, and got to 1458. 1461 is the 62% retracement of the move down from that $15 level. And so, you know, we're flirting with some very important areas, and I think the market is just not quite ready to go there. South America came in with a little bit of precipitation reports, and profit-taking just came into play. So I guess up 13 today or down 13 today is very little compared to what we were up yesterday on beans. And so consolidation is the name of the game.
Mississippi River, been in the news the last couple of days. We'll hear more about that this afternoon. It's open again at this time.
Well, that's a good thing. I was looking, in fact, I'm doing the Pontiac meeting tonight, and just looking at the comparisons, this morning we were negative 405 on the Mississippi. Negative 5.5 is considered zero in pretty much the area where we see them start to shut down. So if you project out, and if we would have the same changes in the height of the river between January and April and April and October, it would not bode well for us because it would indicate that in October we'd be negative 6.08 if that were the case. And, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen, but it just points out how dire the situation is and how difficult it's going to be for us to be real competitive. You know, eventually it's going to affect basis. It doesn't right now because everybody wants corn. Everybody's trying to move everything they can at this point, so they'll raise basis to get the grain. But it's going to help. It's going to hurt us when we get into this next year.
Hey, one other note, and I saw this one come across to the wire service. The CME Group has decided it wants to do a survey and figure out if everybody likes, I guess. I'm not quite certain. Maybe you've taken this survey, the hours that grains are traded electronically in open outcry at this point.
I have not taken the survey yet, although I have to admit that I kind of chuckled. You know, we always think that these huge companies have all their ducks in a row. Well, this seems to be a little bit backwards, I think. You know, it seems like a survey should have been done before. But I think what the reality is the CME has not experienced the big increases in trading that they anticipated, but costs are up. And so now let's find out what we all think about it, and then if they decide that they're going to back down on the hours, well, then it'll be our decision, not theirs, you know. And so, I mean, I know how it works, you know. And so kind of interesting to see them actually out there and doing that. But I guess I don't know how I feel about it anymore. You know, I've kind of gotten used to the markets. I'm not thrilled about Sunday nights at 5 o'clock, to be honest with you. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, but I'm glad to see that they're out there doing that.
After going through the January reports being released at 11 o'clock Central Time or during the trade, how'd you feel about that? And then, of course, you can just couple that right on into the 3 o'clock Friday afternoon cold storage and the cattle reports.
Sure. How did I feel about it? You know, I didn't think I was going to like it, to be honest with you, at 11 o'clock, but it gave me a lot of time to be able to work with clients who I maybe couldn't reach or who were finally getting back to us in advance of the report, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. So I'm not totally sold on the idea that it's a bad thing. It's just if we get into something really, really wild, well, then, you know, 3 hours does not seem like enough time to be able to trade the market, but I didn't mind it. The cold storage report yesterday certainly didn't do us any favors when it came to the live cattle or to the hogs, actually, and, you know, when you watch the action today, we had been up nicely on cattle yesterday after Japan announced that they might start taking our cattle that are over 30 months actually as early as February 1st, which could be a great thing for us. And so, you know, traders ran to the market, started to raise it. Then cold storage came out. This morning we went down. Now we're back up just slightly, and so are feeder cattle. Hogs, you know, they're carrying a really, they're actually trading lower than what the lean hog index is at the moment on the nearbys. But we saw a lot of wool spreading in hawks today. In other words, you know, buying the nearbys and selling the deferreds. And I think that's just a reflection of the fact that that spread is extremely wide. So not good news, and yet we kind of shook it off after all the tough trading that we had last week.
And the cattle on beat report is due out Friday afternoon.
Right, right. And, you know, again, it's one of those situations where it'll be interesting to see it. You know, the expectation is always that we're just going to continue to abandon. But for the first time, we have a lot of cattle clients, and for the first time yesterday, I actually heard people talking about, you know, I'm not sure that it pays for me to raise these cattle in contrast to just raising the corn. And so, you know, that could make a big difference. But we'll see once. They're going to still, you know, cattlemen are cattlemen. They love their animals. They're going to try and find every way they can to raise animals. But at the same time, it's still got a pencil.
Couple of other items in the news. The Brits are thinking about taking an exit out of the European Union. And then, of course, in relative context to that, some currency wars around.
Oh, definitely. You know, the currency wars have been something that have been going on for quite a while. In fact, we saw them back in the 90s already, you know, and China has probably been the leader in playing the currency wars. But we're starting to see it happen at all levels. We're seeing it happen in Brazil. If you look at our competitive edge with Brazil, since they've been starting to control the real, we just have not been as competitive, and it's been much tougher. And I think, you know, people don't think about that, but when you think about a currency war, you know, it's controlling the value of the currency to try and control the trade value against the U.S. dollar. There's a great book out on it called Currency Wars by James Rickard, and if anybody's interested in reading more up on it. But these are the kinds of wars, I think, Todd, that we're going to be facing as the years go on. There'll be less of a face-to-face confrontation and more of this type of aggression and control in the marketplace.
The last day of next week will start into February for the crop insurance setting month.
Right, right. And, you know, not only is it the crop insurance setting month, it is the Chinese Lunar New Year month. They're going to be off from the 9th to the 15th. Isn't that great, right? The 8th is when the USDA report comes out. And I saw today, you know, that the House voted on the debt ceiling. To put off the debt ceiling. So I was very concerned that we were going to be battling that at the same time, but we still haven't seen the Senate vote on it. It supposedly carries don't get it taken care of, don't get any pay for those guys. And so we'll see if it actually works. But it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. And of course, you know, when we look at what the February insurance, crop insurance numbers are, that's certainly going to give us a better idea of how low we may go on the December 13 actual futures contract. You know, I saw today that 2012 crop insurance so far has run $12.3 billion, and they expect that it could rise to as much as $20 billion, with 63% of that going to corn producers and 13% to the bean farmers. And so, you know, that this is not a small issue, and with the weather the way it is and the way it's looking, could become another big, big issue again this coming year.
And finally, you're going to be involved with us at WILO, Will Ag, really intensively over the next several weeks. Tonight, you'll be in Pontiac along with Bill Gentry and Mike Suzulow and Dave Dickey at the Elks Club. That starts at 7 o'clock if you haven't registered for the dinner. 6 o'clock if you have, and you can probably still call First Farm Credit Services. We've sold about a third of the tickets, Jackie, for the All-Day Ag Outlook. The number to call is 217-333-7300. And Friday night, we'll do Voices of Illinois Agriculture.
Oh, I'm excited. I don't know. You can't see me smiling, but I am. I'm really looking forward to going to Pontiac tonight. I have a meeting down in Venedy tomorrow, down in southern Illinois, which I also am very excited about. And Friday night, well, I can't even express how I feel about being able to be involved in something with Orion Samuelson and yourself and Wayne Nelson, Gary Schnitke. Should just be a wonderful time.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
That is Jackie Vakes. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County.